magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, November 23rd, 2015. In the studio with me are two special guests, Dick and Libby Brandt. And they live in Mahomet. In fact, I had the good opportunity yesterday to stop by their home and give them directions on how to get to the home studio. And I thank God for the short notice for you two to show up. And thank you for showing up a little early so we could talk through some of today's program. I know, Dick, that you thought you were just going to be a driver to get Libby over here, but I'm sure I'm going to introduce you at some point to our radio listening family. But Libby, I want to first start off with, before we share about the great experience we had on Saturday night at the Pacific Garden Mission, and even the ministry that took place on the bus ride up and just over the meal at Hardee's in Paxton, and just some of the fun conversations, and then to dine together, to watch the Unshackled program, to worship together, and then the testimonies on the way home. I want to make sure we get this accomplished because it'll get to the end of the program and I will have forgotten. Let's pull out some prize drawing names. These are people that filled out Voice of the Listener radio surveys on the bus, and they handed them to me between like about 9:30 and 11 at night. And so we're going to pull out five names. Dick, what we're going to do is you're going to be the announcer. If you can figure out the name, if it's a husband and wife team and where they're from, and we'll match up gifts with them once we read what they have as far as favorite programs or hosts or certain music that they enjoy. So the first winner is?
John Hostetler.
Okay.
And his wife is Rosemary.
John and Rosemary, expect a gift. What town are they from?
Arthur, Illinois.
Okay, Arthur, Illinois. They're a sweet couple, a part of our group, so we'll figure out a special gift from them. The second one is... I'll shake that bucket. Yeah, we have the little bucket. All the. Thank you, Libby.
The second would be Randy Riggleman. His wife is Candy.
Okay.
And they're from Paxton.
From the good town of Paxton. We had the Paxton 11. We started at Marketplace Mall, left promptly at 12:01 en route to Paxton. We picked up 11 more people, had a full bus load. It was a great group. We made it through all that snow and slush and freezing rain and made it up to Chicago. Yeah, our driver was Aaron. And he worshipped along with us and went on the tour. It was a follower of Jesus. That was kind of an added bonus. Okay, the third winner is, and we'll send out not only an appetizer coupon to the Texas Roadhouse, but some ministry resource, a book or CD, or another fun gift out of the Great News Radio Prize Cabinet.
Jenny Wilfong.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we'll do a shout-out for her now. You know how people, well, I don't know if you knew this, Libby, you probably learned it quickly. When somebody arrives early to a Great News Radio event, I assign them tasks or duties to do, and Jenny was there early, and she was carting back the cookies and the Tootsie Rolls and the snack goods and the bottled water up and down the aisle of the bus. She was assisted by Teresa Desmond, but those two really were my hosts
very
on the...
Very helpful.
Very helpful, very wonderful. Helpful. Mm-hmm. So Jenny expects some kind of gift in the next few days? And let's see, let's do two more. Is that, let's see, one, two, three, yeah, two more.
Celeste Berkey, her husband is Joe, and they're from Rantoul.
Joe and Celeste, okay, expect a prize in the next few days. And our final winner, these are people that filled out Voice Listener Radio surveys.
Libby Brandt.
Hey, do you think our listeners are going to think this
think
is
it
like,
was rigged?
Yeah, this was not rigged. I have the bucket here in front of me, and she just pulled out a name. So I'll let you pick out a gift. I'll open up the prize cabinet, and you can just pull out one of these books that you want.
Her husband is Richard. Commonly referred to as Dick.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Dick. And, you know, you needed to be on this trip because at one point I had people introduce themselves, their name, where they were from, something about their family, their occupation, favorite activity, favorite food, hobbies, and then their favorite Bible verse or story. And then we closed out our time, and I don't know, about 30 different people shared this. What was maybe one pet peeve? And a couple different people were talking about always having to mow the lawn, the grass keeps growing, or raking the leaves, or doing lawn care. And I said, after hearing two or three people list this as their pet peeve, I said, does anyone work in landscaping or lawn care? Because you could make a profit off of these people. And nobody responded. And so I've learned that you have your own company called Freedom Enterprises.
Yes, I started that when I left IBM in 1990. And I've made my living with many enterprises that went along with the freedom.
The freedom to work night and day, right? Oh, well, who knows? And you also do not only like lawn care and landscaping, but don't you do some snow plowing or snow removal?
Yes, sir. I've done that as well.
So somebody who's looking out their driveway and thinking, well, the snow is kind of melted now, or not too bad, but there's some pending snow down the road. How do they get in touch with you in case they, you know, he's shaking his head. In fact, he didn't want to even be a part of this interview, but I know there's going to be a good love story to share before we have Libby share some of the unique things that she witnessed up at the Pacific Guard Mission. But how does somebody get a hold of Freedom Enterprises in case they want to have some snow removed or are thinking about, you know, the spring's not that far off and I want to make sure my lawn is going to be taken care of? How do they get a hold of you?
586-3800,
a Muhammad number. In fact, you got a really unique, how long have you lived in that home? Holly and I and Esther went by there on Sunday night, and you're like in this little backwoods alcove area. It's kind of very unique. I mean, it's like the streets kind of stop there. How long have you lived there?
37 years.
37 years. Wow. That's kind of nice. And is that a big garage, shed? What do you have going on back there? All sorts of things, I think.
Well, it's a shed, and we have 5.5 acres right on the river.
Okay.
Surrounded by Muhammad.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I got to know your wife, Libby. She sat right behind me on the bus, and you made a good friend or two on the bus. Walk our listeners through. So you felt like you wanted to be a part of the Pacific Guard mission trip. I announced it for a few weeks, and we had 55 people all signed up. In fact, we've already had requests to do this again, maybe in the spring. So we'll have more announcements down the road. And so many people on this trip said, hey, might you ever even do a trip up to the Moody Church so we can hear Dr. Erwin Lutzer preach? And I thought, yeah, maybe we could do that with a visit to Chinatown or North Pier. So that's in the works. And then maybe we'll also do a bus to the Creation Museum down the road. And the new Ark Museum that's being built. Yeah. And then I did send a little sheet around for signups, anyone interested in knowing about a trip to Israel. And I think over 20 individuals responded to that. So a trip about a year from now, early November of 2016, is being worked out and facilitated. So say more about that in the coming days, along with these other trips. But why did you sign up to be a part of the Pacific Guard mission trip? And how would you explain your experience to our listeners?
When our daughter was a little girl, when it was time to put her to bed, I would lay on the bed with her and we would listen to Unshackled. And then say prayers, and she would go to bed. And so I have wanted to go to Pacific Garden Mission. Ashley will be 35 on Thursday. So that long, 30 years, I've wanted to go. And as soon as I heard you announce it on the radio, I pulled in the driveway, and I called right then and got on the list. And what a lovely experience. The trip up was a bit hairy, but we were covered in prayer, and Aaron was just cautious, and he just handled the bus really well and got us there safe and sound. But what I saw when we first got there was servanthood. Servanthood. Everywhere people were serving each other. At one point in time during the church service, I don't know if you noticed it, but the woman that went up to sing, the second time she went up to sing, she asked for a little cup of water, and the head guy went to get it, not some little peon person, you know, the head guy.
We know what you mean.
Yeah, you know, it just was a real demonstration of a servant's heart in all the people that I met.
What I loved about the trip, many of the people I'd never met before. So we filled the bus. There was a few cancellations because, as you remember, on Saturday morning, the snow started falling and the winds picked up and it was getting colder. And we had some people driving in as far as from Rockville, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And thank you, God, Donna made it.
She
had her birthday on Friday.
Yes.
And so I gave an award for the person that drove in from the furthest distance.
And we sang happy birthday to her.
Happy birthday to her. But we had people from Thomasboro, Rantoul, Muhammad, Seidel, White Heath, Urbana, Champaign, Dewey, Paxton,
Arthur,
Gifford, Arthur, from all over St. Joseph, Posodom, Thomasboro. It was a great group, but many of these that attended, I had never met before.
Mm-hmm.
They were familiar with the radio ministry, and so as they introduced themselves, people were commenting or cheering it on. People would share their hobbies, and, oh, I do that too, or I have that favorite food, or, you know, somebody would say, well, breakfast is my favorite food, and, you know, you'd hear people yelling from the back, me too. And then the pet peeves were kind of fun. People would share different things. But what I found happening, especially on the return trip, which was about 9 hours later, we had gelled as a group.
Mm-hmm.
And this sometimes happens on trips to Israel, where into the sixth or seventh day, after mm-hmm. worshiping together and having meals and praying and experiencing teaching, there's like this knitting, mm-hmm. this gelling together.
Tapestry.
And it seemed like our group, right away, people were sharing and supportive. And what I loved is senior saints that have followed the Lord for many years. We had the couple that was married 55 years, Virgil and Vinnie Irwing, to testify to being married that long and the advice they gave and some of the testimony sharing and just people sharing some of their life stories. We just kind of knit together and had that camaraderie or kindred spirit, you know, all loving the Lord. But someone like them that were senior saints, to like Teresa, that was just baptized about a year ago, and she was writing down all the people's favorite mm-hmm. scriptures, and that was just such a blessing as she sat across from me and we talked. Many people had the microphone so everyone could hear, but then there were all those other wonderful conversations, you know, that 2.5 hour bus ride up. And then, like you said, we got to the Pacific Garden Mission, and the plan was to tour the whole facility, mm-hmm. but because of the snow and being a little late, we had an abbreviated tour, but they took us to the
Billy Sunday Chapel
after a little pep talk where they answered many questions.
Mm-hmm.
That was Flossie's husband. I can't think of his name.
Yes, I can't either.
A real fireball, a pastor at heart. And
a comedian, too.
And he came to know the Lord at the Pacific Garden Mission. He shared his story. He's been serving there as a pastor for many years. And then we returned to this big multi-purpose room, also their sanctuary, also where the taping of Unshackled mm-hmm. goes on. They're up on a stage. And so for the next hour, from about 4:30 to 5:30, they put on the whole Unshackled program, and it was orchestrated. Maybe describe what that was like. This was your first time, right?
Yes. People sitting in different chairs, and as they read the script, they stood and spoke the words, and there was like a conductor that was kind of orchestrating everything, and he would raise his hand up, and the music would come on, that organ, and for a little while, I closed my eyes, and it was just like I was listening on the radio instead of really seeing it, and it was very interesting.
How do you like the sound effects?
Oh, they were neat.
Yeah, they'd have a woman to the side, like when there was a scene where they're in a restaurant or at a dinner table. She would clang the fork against the plate and pick up a coffee cup and set it down. Or when there was something else going on, like they were reading the newspaper, and she just crumpled a piece of paper right next to the microphone. And there was other sounds of a child crying or something all mm-hmm. queued up. And then you would have the different...
Oh, and then one thing they had to do, a siren went by outside and they froze and just stopped. Because they said, had asked us to be real quiet because their microphones pick up everything.
Yeah.
And it was picking up the siren going on outside Chicago.
Yeah, and if somebody mispronounced a word or something, because there were some hard words.
Mm-hmm.
This episode of Unshackled, I think, is actually going to air in March. They gave us a specific date.
Yes.
But it was about Dory in doing some mission work to this tribe. And it was hard to explain some of the names of the chief leaders or the country that they were in serving. Mm-hmm. But so once in a while, the conductor, if you would, he'd say, "Nope, start at verse 13 or section 2, do that again." A little more enthusiastic on the presenting of that. And so that took about an hour, and Flossie did a great introduction into this is a true story. She's researched all the details. This person has finished well, is following the Lord.
And she brought us up to speed because this was part two, and we didn't know the beginning of the story, and she brought us up, and that was very, very powerful.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so then what happened after the taping of Unshackled?
We went to dinner, and they serve approximately 2,000 meals a day, and I asked one of the young men, Thursday, will it be 2,000? And he said, no, 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 it will be more like 3,500. And they house between 900 and 1,000 people spend the night. They have a men's section and a women's section. But all the fellows that served us were graduates from their program, and they were all in suits and ties and gracious and polite and friendly. And it was just a wonderful experience.
Yeah, and if you can imagine, you know, 700-plus people, they keep it very structured and organized, and they have a whole routine and a system where you go, you pick up your meal, the salad's already set out, the water or those that are serving come to each of the tables, and it's like a mass assembly, but very well organized, and that's how they run the whole program. And I love that they shared their goals and their intentions is not to be an enabler, and how they have expectations, and all those that come to get served and to have the meal or stay the night, they attend the services
and hear the gospel.
And the unique things that they do, even with their clothing, they put them into these hot rooms because there might be lice or other bugs in, and this will kill everything off, and all the men and women have to shower. And it's really fascinating and wonderful how they orchestrate this so that people can sleep and the hygiene is proper. And so we had a great meal.
We
and
did.
Like we sat as a group, but everyone was filling this cafeteria room. We had good belly fill, as they say. And then
it was
back,
a very good meal.
And then back for a high octane, I would call it, multiracial, interactive worship service.
Yes. Very.
And I had you share a little bit on the bus, and we're on the bus. I said, "Hey, what's your phone number, by the way?" And you're like, "Why do you need that?" "Oh, just don't worry about that." This is how I set up people in advance. They don't really know what I'm going to be doing. But I said, "Give me your home phone number because I might be calling you up for some things." And so, sure enough, you did that. But I had you share on the bus that it seemed like God was doing something to you during the message and during the worship time.
It was, well, a very precious time of worship. I'm older, and the older songs speak to me, the words, and there was a freedom. He was there. He just, the presence of the Spirit was just thick, really, really thick. And when we sang some of the songs, there was a group over there that was resounding the words differently than what we were, what I was singing, and it just, I don't know, it just kept growing and growing and growing. The presence of God was just so strong.
Yeah, what's wonderful about the Pacific Garden Mission is they serve all of God's people, if
all
you will.
Of God's people.
Black, whites, Hispanics, people from all different backgrounds, not only economically, but just the whole gamut. And is very interactive, or you could say participatory.
Yes.
And
very.
So some of the African American men in the back, how they resound with those songs and amen and the passion that comes out of them. And I think they separate, now that I'm thinking about it, all the women were to the far right, you know, set up in rows. The men were the far left, if you will. And then the visitors or other attenders were right in the middle. That's where we were seated.
Yeah.
And just a glorious worship service representative of all of God's kingdom, but they always declare and preach God's word.
Yes.
And it was the first time I heard it, but it was their, I don't know if he's called their director or CEO or the head of the Pacific Garden Mission, but that pastor that preached the message, and he was declaring God's word, this blind man that he recounted out of the story out of John chapter 9, and just powerful, and how he declared God's word and an altar call at the end. And yeah, that woman that sang, wow, talk about, I mean, she could be a professional singer and could.
The voice doesn't have anything on her.
Yeah, yeah. It, was. It was wonderful. And then I think
they also honored some graduates from their program, that one young Hispanic family. You know, they honored them, and that was beautiful, seeing that family and those young men.
Yeah, touched. And I think there were three people, the two women and the one
women,
man. Yeah, so anyways, I just wanted to give you all a glimpse of what happened. We'll be doing this again in probably the springtime as it gets a little warmer. We'll take up a group, and maybe we'll do some other outings. It just seemed to be so much fun to unite like-minded believers together and to grow and to share. And then the testimonies. Coming home, I asked people to share an impression or a conviction or something else maybe that the Lord spoke to them or that they observed. And people said, the Lord answered some of my prayers, or the Lord emphasized some new direction I need to take, or it was so wonderful to be around all of you guys. Some people were sharing, you know, I've been widowed for so many years, and it was like a glimpse of family, and I can't wait to do something else with you all. And so it was just a glorious time. We saw God at work. It exceeded my expectations. I put on many, many trips, and I thought, this group so quickly gelled, and I think we were just all receptive and united in our desire to see what God would do. And so that was wonderful. And Dick, you know, you're getting off the hook, because I had said maybe I was going to have you guys share a little of your love story. We're just going to have you back, because you're kind of neighbors across the river and through the woods a little bit, and you can get over here in about 6 or 8 minutes. So I do want to maybe share some of the unique ways God brought you together and the redemptive story as you've been married these 35 plus years, and how the Lord wooed you to each other. And you didn't know him at the time, and yet he did that transformational work these many years. And I know you're both involved in prison ministries. So we'll figure out in the days ahead how to have you back. And
one other thing I wanted to say, too, is I had a precious opportunity to my seatmate, little Nancy, has never been to Israel, and I had the opportunity to encourage her.
Yeah, in fact, I heard you say it perked my ears. You said, you know, we could be roommates. And I thought, there's already two, and I think I have about 10 or 12 others interested in going. And we'll say more about a future trip to Israel. And probably November of 2016, about a year away. And you've been 3 times, right?
Yes.
And I think you've served a couple times through the ICEJ, International Christian Embassy out of Jerusalem. One last thing before we close out here. My brother Stu turns 50 today.
Yay,
happy birthday, Stu. I think he's in Hawaii, but he listens to the program all the time and emails me just about every day. And my son, David Howe, turns 22 today. So look forward to bringing him home this Christmas time, and we're going to have a great reuniting with him. It's been a few months since I was down in Texas with him. So happy birthday, David. Happy birthday, Stu. And actually, it was 2 years ago to this day that I proposed to Holly. So we did it on their birthday. So, we'll be coming up on 2 years, January 1st. So thank you, God, for the special day, for Stu, for David, and for you, the listener.
And
for Holly, yes, my dream wife. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.